So, if you were to ask one of my youth, past or present, what is it that Amber teaches you guys? They would answer in one of several ways. They would probably pick up a Bible, something like this, and go, oh, look, it's Jesus. He says, stop it! Or don't be jerks. They might mention it's not a good idea to paint cows purple. And this was not a youth-sponsored activity, I promise, but they'll be happy to tell on me later, I'm sure. They might mention Nerf gun lock-in activities, which I will vehemently deny. Or they might talk YouTube videos at camp. But more seriously, I would hope that the words one love would come up. But if pressed to put it all into one phrase, I bet you would hear at least some of them say, be fruit. So you heard Ethan read the fruits of the Spirit, which most people are familiar with, even if you don't know where exactly to find it in the Bible. Fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? It's camp for you. They know this list well, but just knowing the words isn't enough. Whenever we ask tough questions in youth group, I always assure them, I don't have any answers for you. All I have are more questions. We'll just have to find the answers together. They don't always love this way of doing things, but I think it's important. It's important that we know the words, yes, but it's what we do with what we know that really makes a difference in our lives, our communities, and in our world. So what I would like to do today is not so much preach about the fruits of the Spirit, or talk to you about interpretations of this scripture. But instead, I want to let all of you know how this group of young people exemplifies those fruits. I always hear people say that the youth are the future of our church. But once you are aware, if you're not already aware, of all that our youth does, I hope you will be convinced of the truth, which is the youth are the church, right here, right now. Love. Love is a profoundly tender, passionate affection for others or a feeling of warm, personal attachment or deep affection. And love manifests itself in so very many ways. For us, all of the different ways that love manifests shows up at camp. These kids have been to a lot of camps. They've been to Mission Camp in Stillwater, El Reno, Enid, Claremore, Guthrie. At all of these camps, there is always a lot of fun stuff to do. And our group is so close that even just getting ready to go out for the day is fun. Hanging out in the lobby, waiting for the van is fun. What always impresses me, though, is that the love at Mission Camp carries on throughout the workday. Now, I know you may think, oh, Mission Stillwater, rough terrain. But we work hard. These guys work hard. There is always a school that needs their entire playground resanded, a Veterans Affairs office that needs their wasp-infested shed cleaned out, and years of decorations and donations sorted and boxed and moved before lunch, where they will hairnet up and serve a meal to the community. Right, Dylan? That was us last year. There are always, and I mean always, houses, porch, and barns that need to be scraped clean and repainted. And most of the paint ends up on the houses and not on each other. There are always a lot of yards that need to be mowed, a lot of weeds that need to be pulled. We have completely redone the landscaping for a playground in Enid. Ethan was on that crew. We have repainted entire school's locker rooms for an upcoming semester, and we have picked up trash all day long. And when we all come staggering back to the hotel, stinky, dirty, and tired, they do not complain. There's a grumble here or there. But they're smiling. They're laughing about their tan lines that turn out after a shower to have just been dirt lines. They're competing to see how many yards each one mowed. It's quite incredible, really. They truly know how to show love to a community, even if it's not their own. Back here on our regular weekly meetings, their love is shown in a different way. Our Bible studies, like I mentioned earlier, are more of an exploration than a lesson. The tricky part about exploration and search for what does it all mean is that everyone has a different idea of what it all means. Most of us are on social media, right? And so we know how sweet and politely we always treat those who disagree with us on social media, right? If you're not on social media, not true. Let me tell you, in our group, we are actually polite to each other. They may not always get along, they may not always agree with each other, But when they are listening, they actually listen. Don't get me wrong, they argue. And there is always a hint of sarcasm that sneaks in. I don't know where. Their leader certainly isn't sarcastic, so. But at the end of the day, I truly believe that they value each other's thoughts and ideas. Joy is an emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying, a source or cause of keen pleasure or delight. Whether they are cooking for the chili cook-off, singing along with Disney movies at movie night, trying to school me by putting the books of the Bible together quicker than I am, Jillian, she does it too, or playing whatever crazy game I've come up with in chaos, they always seem to have a good time. Now, a hallmark of youth ministry is to get kids to eat gross stuff, which is fun for us adults. They've eaten baby food. Joel's eaten baby food, musical chair night. Creamed corn and a plethora of disgusting flavored jelly bean. It's an actual game, Bean Boozled. Check it out. I've had them drag around each other on scooters, collecting colored balls in a human Hungry Hungry Hippos game, which is probably the most fun we've had. I've had this group of middle and high school kids play my own version of musical chairs, and you know what? They just do it. They rarely complain about any of the crazy stuff I find, and not only do they do it, but they do it with a smile on their face. This group finds joy in just hanging out and being weird and silly. There are so many times when I'm having a bad day or a bad week, and by the time I leave one of our meetings, I'm feeling better. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? They're teenagers. They make me crazy, but they always bring me joy. And we as adults definitely need more of that. Peace, a lasting state of mutual harmony between groups or people, a source or cause of keen pleasure or delight, a bearing of annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint. And I like this definition. Quiet, steady perseverance, even tempered with care and diligence. Peace and patience, I believe, go hand in hand. And these are both things that our world so desperately needs. And we have it in abundance right here. My prime example is when we take our group on the Interfaith Youth Tour. This is by far one of my favorite events that our youth group goes on. And if you're not familiar with it, it's when churches and religious groups from around the region join together and visit different houses of worship. I've been to Sikh temples, the Turkish Raindrop House, Jewish temples, mosques, Protestant churches, a Buddhist temple, and last year we went to East 6th Street Christian Church. Woo, go Disciples. On these trips, we learn about others' faiths and worship styles, and sometimes we get to participate in pieces of their worship services, and they always provide snacks. It's really interesting and eye-opening, and is usually a very peaceful tour, wherein we know we do things differently, but even so, we are all God's children. 1 year, however, tested our peace and patience. Without naming names, we visited a mainline Protestant church, where when we pulled up, we saw the youth leader that was speaking, and we thought, hey, he's one of us. Gauged ears, he had tattoos, he had jeans on, he looked cool, right? But then he started to speak. He was not one of us. He talked about how women should not be in leadership positions in the church, as this group all did one of these to look at me and I'm tapping my name tag. He even went on to talk about who could be Christians and which type of people could never truly know God's love. These guys were not having it. They were mad. But they didn't stand up and yell. They didn't laugh and point. Ethan's hand, in fact, just went like this. I reminded him to breathe. And he just politely asked where in the Bible this person found his justification for those beliefs. And we listened to the answer. We didn't like his answer, but we listened. And don't get me wrong, I love a good table-flipping Jesus story, okay? One of my favorites. And there are times that call for it. But that day we knew we had an opportunity to practice peace. We were in their house of worship. We were there to learn about their perspective and their traditions. These youth were given the opportunity to get loud with righteous indignation, but they didn't. Instead, they practiced peace. Even on the bus ride home, we had a wonderful talk about how to respectfully disagree with those that we come in contact with. We learned many things that day. I learned many things that day. And if we could all listen as thoughtfully as the groups that go on the Interfaith Youth Tour, we'd be doing pretty good. Kindness and goodness. Kindness is many things, but it is mainly indulgent, considerate, or helpful, humane. Goodness is moral excellence or virtue. And as we discovered in our talks at youth group, for us, kindness and goodness are not all that different. Goodness is a quality, and kindness is acting on that quality. You can find the goodness of the youth at the International Affairs Seminar, where they are willing to learn to walk with purpose. They walk, y'all, a lot. To see and experience things so far out of their norm, things that are not always easy to experience, things that will challenge them. And the ones that haven't gone on the trip are always excited to hear about those challenging things. Their quality of characteristic excellence is shown whenever they say, sure, whenever they're helped to ask to help in worship. Even if it's something they've never done before, they don't really enjoy doing, they're ready to pitch in with minimal grumbling. Their kindness is easily visible. It appears at mission camp when they're willing to give up a week of their summers to do good for others. At Refuge Fellowship, which we're very familiar with here, where they just go to serve those less fortunate. At the food bank, where even after 3 hours of separating, bagging, and boxing frozen carrots, they are still smiling, still singing, still dancing. And those carrots were cold, y'all. They are so kind and helpful to neighborhood kids who show up at Trunk or Treat, even if they know that's the 47th time this kid has been to my trunk for candy. Or regardless of how many heavy pumpkins they carry to cars for people. If I can say one thing about this group, it's that they have truly have a servant's heart. Excuse me. Faithfulness is being true to one's word, reliable, trusted. And let me tell you about something about these lovely people behind me. They are faithful. We do a lot here at Southern Hills, and I mean a lot, and not just youth stuff either. There is always something going on in the calendar, and this building gets a lot of use. But even if it's not a youth event, it's probably a safe bet to assume that there will be a youth involved somewhere. Even if she's not helping with something specific, Jillian is always here. And she's always ready with a smile and a hello and a talk about what book she's reading. They show up to help serve meals. They show up to help on work days to clean the kitchen. Miguel is a master organizer. He's organized my youth room 3 or 4 times. Grace has had her whole family up baking for Balto Week and the youth bake sale in the same night. Roger and Liz are nodding with me. Yes, all night. Last year, this Sunday before VBS started, we asked for people to stay and help decorate, and the youth outnumbered us all. And they came to work. I've said a lot of things about these kids today, which has always been true, but none of that would have mattered if they weren't willing to faithfully show up. But they do. Time and time again, they show up, ready to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Gentleness is kindly, amiable, not severe, or rough, or violent. Now, for all of the wonderful things I've said about these kids, let me just say this. They're weird. Southern Hills, when we go to camps, we're not known for being that stereotypical group that has the cliques and the popular kids and the outcasts or whatever terms there are that are used to separate groups. Nope, we're just weird. At mission camp one time, when all of the other groups were over at the pavilion with the DJ or whatever was happening, where were we guys? At the park, right? We were at the park on the swings. And it's not to say that we're not social or that we don't mix well with other groups, because we do, and we have friends in different youth groups. But I think that our uniqueness is what allows us visitors and guests to feel welcome. We don't have any one way of doing things. We don't have any one way of looking at things. We have a lot. These kids make space for anyone who walks in the door. They don't judge, at least not out loud. They just are. I've said before that I couldn't do this job just anywhere, that I am very blessed to work with such an amazing bunch of youth that you will not find anywhere else. And I'll continue to say that. Now, if you think I'm just being biased because this is my group and I love them, or if you think I'm just trying to secure my job somehow by gushing about how great we are, let me set you straight. The last fruit is self-control. Teenagers. Self-control is hard. Self-control is not getting too wrapped up in what you're saying so much that you talk over other people. Okay, guilty. Self-control is knowing when to speak and when to listen. Self-control is mastering the ability to restrain your own impulses and emotions. And again, teenagers. But I will say this, they try. They really do. And I love them for that, and I'm not going to look at them or cry. So at the end of every sermon, there's a good wrap-up, right? Jenny's really good at this. I'm not really too sure how to properly do that. So let me just end with this. I know I've said about 30 different ways this morning, But if you ever want to know about the fruits of the Spirit or how to be church, one place you can look is to our youth and children. It's not because of me. I'm here to guide. They steer. And they do a phenomenal job of learning and teaching. And I will just reiterate that by reading Galatians from the Message translation. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life and serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but to work out its every implication and every detail in our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives.